Good afternoon. My name is Claudio Rivera. I am the Deputy Director of Riga Business School and Associate Professor in Leadership. And today we are hosting one more episode of Bottom Line Studio that has already become a tradition for Riga Business School. And today with me, we have Andris Graf, who is an expert in corporate governance and alumnus of Riga Business School as well. Andris has been very active on corporate governance issues of state-owned enterprises and private sector as well. He has been one of the co-authors of the Latvian government reform of state-owned enterprises, and as well has been working in the OECD Working Party on state ownership and privatization practices. Today, as well, he's acting chair of the supervisory board of Liepaja University as well. And he and Andris chairs the Advisory Council on Governance of Enterprise owned by the Riga Council. Okay, so a lot of experience helping companies to put in order their corporate leadership, their corporate governance, right? Welcome, Andris.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. And I remind everyone in the audience that you also can send us messages in Facebook or LinkedIn or WhatsApp, and then we are going to try to answer. We have only 45 minutes. How is your connection with RBS, just to start a little bit to warm up?
So I'm a proud graduate, actually, from the recent graduation. So I took 2 years in executive MBA program. Mm-hmm. That was quite a great journey. And coming here, I graduated this year, but it's the next year already. So time is flying really, really fast.
Fantastic.
And before I entered RBS and executive MBA studies, so for several years, I was a guest lecturer actually on corporate governance topic for the master's, for the bachelor's students. Mm-hmm. So I was quite close also with RBS before being a student and a graduate.
Fantastic. If you work on leadership very. I mean, I work more from the soft side, if we can call it, of leadership. You work more from the structural side, so how you all set up the governance that the leaders can be effective. But if you can, in few words, define your own definition of leadership, what that could be?
Well, several aspects, I guess. So one, I strongly believe that from the leader, everybody expects that it's providing a direction for the organization, for the team, for the company, for the state, or a municipality, or university, where I'm chairing a supervisory board currently. On the other hand, it is not static. Because if you see the painting in a museum, so this is, you know, just a picture and it's standing for hopefully for centuries. So right. It's changing, and you need to be the one who is trying to adapt in different environment. And what I like is that leader is the one who can fix and develop the environment where others can develop themselves. Mm-hmm. Not to fix a person or not to fix a bad CEO or a supervisory board member in state-owned company who is actually not performing well or mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. So yeah, setting direction and adjusting to different needs of the organization and also to be the one who is not solving the personal problem, but fixing and developing the environment.
Yeah. So the leader is a fixer, right? So it's someone that drives the solution in a way, right?
Well, a fixer in a way is that the challenges is in every step, right? Mm-hmm. And it's smaller or bigger, but it's a fixer, but also a developer. So just to fix, so it's one case. And I remember some time ago, one investor asked, can I provide some suggestions for an interim CEO for half a year?
Right.
Who will go to the company and fix all the challenges? And then we need some CEO who will develop the one. So it means that this leadership is not one formula that will fit to every organization. We have organizations that are mature. We have startups, right? And you need a different type of leaders in the situation where company or organization is. and yeah, fixer and developer. So let's put both up.
But do you think there is room for someone like that, that is going to be an interim leader, like sort of change manager, I guess, is someone that is going to drive the change or the transition? Because that person can come and fix something, but develop, that takes a longer period of time.
Yeah. So I believe that sometimes you need somebody who is more cruel,
okay,
if we can put it in this way. That is, you know, democracy is absolutely a must in organization to discuss about the different solutions. But when it's a decision, so everybody must obey in a way. So otherwise, we will not reach any result. But So we need also some despots sometimes, and it maybe sounds not acceptable for. Some audience or for some organization, but I just remember some few years ago when I started to work in Riga City with the municipality on companies, and the context there was that there is a corruption cases, there is some political appointees in boards or boards were not established, so there is a huge audit results that is saying that companies are bad governed. So and you need somebody who can just come be a bit strict, just to change fire, and then somebody who can develop. And this was absolutely the case. So one lady who came, and she did a fantastic work, and afterwards there is the next person who is developing and being or working in an environment that engage also some managers and supervisory board members and stakeholders and so on.
So what basically you are saying is results people, results first, though you need to keep an eye on the people as well, but at the end of the day you want the leader to achieve.
Yeah.
And in some moment it seems to be a conflict. You need to lean more toward the results and the goals.
Well, I think leadership is being in an environment where the conflicts are all around. And like one it's kind of theory, but in practices work well. What to do with stakeholders, and when we are putting stakeholders of one organization or company, so internal, what employees want, probably a bigger salary because of inflation, right? Management want effectiveness because we need more digital, we need tools, maybe less employees. Yeah. We have shareholders who want some returns, and we have clients who want better service. Mm. And if we have better service, we are probably lowering some profits to shareholders. Mm. And when we are putting all the stakeholders group in one map,
right,
and understands the needs. Right. So it's all over the conflict, what one group of stakeholders want more and other. And needs are also different. So it means that the leader, the manager, needs to understand what are the needs of and interests of stakeholders, and being able to somehow navigate and balance those interests, that there is no explosion, like we see in Ostrom Clinical University Hospital nowadays, when there's a huge conflict, or there is a mess with a discussion regarding tariffs. Electricity tariffs and that affects all economy. So this is the master of being or being able to balance different needs, but take decision, not to postpone, take decision. And sometimes, it's in Liepāja University when I'm chairing the supervisory board, so we have a huge project of reorganization, so it's clear that status quo is not possible. There is opinion of employees and academical personnel, what would be the solution. There is opinion of local municipality, of employer confederation and experts and board council members. So and there is no consensus. So and what to do? We need to proceed and to implement the reorganization practice that the students will benefit and the local municipality will benefit with the great students afterwards. So
there is a moment where the leader has to take the decision, even when the consensus is not there. How much he or she, for example, in the case of the university, if you want, how much you need to wait, expect everyone to buy finally the changes? Or when is the moment where you look at, okay, we need to take a decision and some people will not buy it, but we need to go anyway?
Well, I like approach when we can discuss before the decision about options, about risks, about different angles, how we can reach the same result. But when the decision is made, and usually for corporations and also for universities, so it's not one person who is in charge. So this is not a king of the organization or queen of the organization. It's a team. And then the team, what is a management team or the one that is ensuring oversight of the operations and the results. So the team is taking decision, and sometimes in majority of cases it's a consensus because we have the same vision. But in this university case, so we had a split decision, but majority, a bigger part of board members voted for one solution that was not 100% happy, accepted. But we need to proceed, so otherwise we are coming back and challenging the arguments and challenging the assumptions, finally the government need to take a decision to stop the discussions where we are inventing even some facts or believing some situations and possible development of situation what is not even the case, not 100%. So
I'm thinking a little bit because I understand the point that there is a moment you need to take the decision. So there is a decision to be made. There are some objectives that are not really achieved. There are some expectations that we are not meeting, and we need to take a decision on that. But the question is, when you have a big part of the stakeholders or some substantial part of the stakeholders, probably not in the board, that are not sufficiently on board, right? Whether at the end of the day that decision is going to be effective, because in the short term you can take the decision and you can do the change, and I think we see it quite a lot in the private sector. So that you take a decision, but then you know if employees has not been involved, if customers have not been involved, at the end of the day, so how whether that taking a decision without having everyone on board at the end of the day is going to have a high price in the long run.
I couldn't agree more with you. Yes, but the question is how many or what is this round or bunch of people, what are you treating or what should you take in a board? And if you are taking just companies, you know, you have shareholders, you have, if it's large joint stock company, you have a supervisory board. You have a management board consisting of, let's say, 3-5 persons. Then you have a management team, heads of department. So if to take all in board, so you need to take all employees plus stakeholders, like biggest clients, regulators, politicians, and so on. So it's clear that these opinions, it's a democracy. It's a free way to express different opinions. So probably it can not be possible. But then if you're defining what is a round of people what you want to take on a board, absolutely yes. So then you do everything just to take a decision in a most engaging way. But sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes, you know, it affects personality, who knows the current situation or the current way how I'm doing the things is the best ever. And this is what I have done for 20 years. And you want to change something. Why? Show me some evidence that the new solution will be better. And not necessarily there is evidence what benefits will come from one or other situation. I have in my own experience sometimes I'm more aggressive, demanding results, please do that in that times, and things are not happening. Sometimes it's when you are discussed with the main team that we agree, we are having, we are reaching agreement what to do, things are not happening. Then we are coming back with the formal decisions, with the task, and things are not happening. So, you know, it's not not always the case when you are quite clear you are reaching agreements that it will be implemented, even if it's agreement. Mm-hmm. Because you never know whether the person who is saying, yes, 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 let's do it, I'm accepting, but actually I'm not thinking that this right. is the right, right. Right solution. So, and this is kind of experimentation in leadership, you know.
This is a very interesting point where you start to convince me a little bit on why the decision before the everyone buying it is because we will never know whether the decision is correct till we experiment with the decision.
Yes, and even more. So when you are putting decision in one sentence or paragraph, that I don't know, we will develop a new personal policy, and we will motivate whatever topic what is in a competence of management or supervisory board, how it will be translated in a mind of employee who is doing or in charge of implementation. And not always there is enough time to communicate in a detail and to devote time, especially from the managers, from the CEO position, from the chair and supervisory board members to go in a detail through. So recently I had the situation when I discussed with head of university like 2 days, and afterwards in media the comment was like, you know, coming back and some interpretations and maybe I'm just judging whether it's correct or not correct, but if I am saying to myself that this is done, this is discussed and this is understood, you never know whether it's okay or not okay, how the other person understood and feedback, you know. It's absolutely a needed thing from the book, mm-hmm. but not necessarily you will get the right answers in a practice.
Do you have any example of a leader you sort of look after and say, okay, this person really has been, or in the cases you know, this person really is a good example of this style of leadership that is decisive, but with the question mark, you know, leaving the question mark whether it's going to work or not. Do you look at any in your experience?
Yeah. And of course, well, the leader what I want to follow is something what I want to learn and I want to repeat in a way the thing that works. And maybe so for a majority of Latvians, Vairovīte Freiberga is kind of ideal president with self-confidence, with being able to set a direction of the country in a way that we are in international organizations like NATO and European Union, who is able to represent a state when I'm proud. You know, remember this historical speech before joining NATO. But then there is also some like Reinis Pozniaks, mm-hmm. in current situation, who managed to deliver 1,000 cars to Ukraine to help to fight against the monster Putin and his regime. I would say that he is a leader what I want to follow and to learn from him, because if you have idea and ideal that I want to be needed in a fight against aggression, how to implement it in practice.
Yeah.
And he did it. And I think we can learn a lot how to make the idea happen, that everybody is just opening a wallets and donating, and some persons who are just giving their own old cars, maybe that are not needed on a daily basis, but that can help there. And this is kind of movement what I like, what I trust, and what I want to be, you know, similar and trying to take the best out of all the story, what is not easy, what is quite difficult. And you are sweating quite a lot to manage all the pressure and expectations and critics in media and in social networks and so on.
Yeah. In these two cases, I think what we also can see, and coming back to all what you have said before, these are people that do real impact in proper direction, but are at the same time getting into new arenas, new way of doing things. There is some creativity that actually something new that is not tested, that you can never really forecast. You cannot predict what is going to happen. So they are like testing, going forward, making an impact, and they go in a direction, right, on that. So there is an element of vision that is there, right? So it's a vision in the... How important is that for the leader of when you are looking for people to be on the boards? How important is the visionary of the... And I will tell you one thing. Today, out of curiosity, I went to businesses just to see how members of the boards are looked for. What are the requirements? And I saw some of the... I couldn't look at many, but a few of them. I haven't in any one of them. I have seen, you know, any requirement that could in some way lead you to think that person that is applying has this potential leadership that we are talking about.
Well, this vision and ideas how to be better, how to improve. So obviously, so the answer will be yes. So it would be very weird that I would deny that. In all those public calls for managers or board members, on the one hand, you're searching for some hard skills, right? Some experience and track record that you have touched this issue, especially in supervisory boards. What comes unusually in interviews, so in the last 2 years, I have participating more than 20, or my organization and participating in more than 20 processes when we're searching managers or supervisory board members in state-owned companies and municipality-owned companies. And in each of this process, there is a part, what is your vision? You know, what is your proposal for the strategy? And there you can see a big differences. Actually, this is a place where you are assessing also not only hard skills and experience and previous positions, but also your ability to put together current data and to provide some kind of solution or new angles. And this counts. This absolutely
counts. How much it counts? So it's interesting. So you went through so many processes. How much it counts? You are not the only one, I guess, in the selection process. So you have many colleagues. So it's how much not only count to you personally, but to the selection committee, nomination committee. So how much it counts to get someone more creative, probably less correct or less fit on the hard skill side?
Yeah, so if you would put in what is wrong, but if you would put all the selection process in Excel sheet, right?
Right.
Then for every step what is assessed, you're giving some points.
Right.
And this is, again, maybe the wrong part of the selecting executives and board members in state-owned companies because, you know, it's not procurement. But if out of 100 points you're... understanding the track record and previous positions, what is entry requirements, whether you are fitting or not fitting to these minimal requirements, then I would say that up to 15% it's assessment for your strategy, your vision, where each person who is part of the selection committee is providing their own subjective judgment how valid and how reasonably good your vision is, and the rest is we are talking about your skills. Then comes some additional points if you work for international organizations and so on and so on and so on. So I would say 10-15% is absolutely in average how this vision is translated.
Is enough, I think.
Yes and no. You know, it really depends. Of course, when you can say that 50%, so it's not enough. But you need also somebody, for example, for board position, who has experience in challenging management in budget assumptions. So here we need a person who is with established experience. Or we need somebody who understands how the risk management system or internal controls, compliance, how to work with sanctions, how to develop IT, and to digital transformation and all these aspects. So here it's very important that person went through difficulties in different organizations, preferably for international or international organizations that can bring this added value or experience and transform it as added value. But sometimes it's you know, the process like state Latvian state forests, what we are quite commenting and demanding the fair process, because right. You can use the same Excel sheet, you can use the same counting and putting percentages when the needed candidates are just pushed through, and what is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. because this leadership is not just to follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the mindset that we are bringing the best solution or best board members, best managers, best solutions to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when this mindset integrity is challenged, actually nobody is achieving anything. So
right.
it's more the question about the trust in society, that it's again one more example when the society in general can say that we are lowering the level of trust to our ministers, government, mm. and state-owned companies, what is absolutely not needed, and we need to fix it.
Yeah. This of start to challenge, and looking again to these ads that I saw today, announcements of positions, and I think they were all hospital or connected with medicine, and I was thinking to myself, okay, you are not bringing, with those requirements, you are not bringing diversity into the room.
Oh, yeah.
So what I think is going to limit your possibility of experimentation and new solutions, probably, at the time. So there is a little bit of resistance to this type of diversity, because if you look at these two examples, Bayravita Frevera probably is more popular among the people, more better known about the audience. But there is a person coming from a completely different world in a way, because her upbringing was largely outside the Latvia. And then, so if you whenever you need a change, you need diversity in that position. So could we start seeing in the future that there is more promotion of bringing new blood, new perspective to this type of boards, people that probably haven't been in the system, in a system, in a sort of track to become board members and come from a different angle, right?
Yeah. In last, let's say, 5-6 years, so this is a process when the corporate governance arrived
right.
in state-owned companies and
right.
municipality-owned companies later on. I would say that there is a fresh blood and with the signals that we are doing quite open calls, and there is no political kind of interference, we can bring private sector professionals there. So this is working, and there was a meet that nobody from private sector will want to come to work for state-owned company or even ministry or whatsoever, and this is not true. So they are ready if there is no, you know, some hidden deals in all the process.
Mm-hmm.
So what is ugly truth? That unfortunately, when the civil servants are looking for the board supervisory board members or managers, they are trying to find a copy of themselves.
Right.
And then we come, so of course, and then you are trying to find a copy of yourself, and there is, you know, similarities who are, you know, and then we are not getting this diversity in boards or managers. So the right solution was that there is this nomination committees where the business representatives are there.
Mm-hmm.
With a different angle, different understanding what is needed or not needed. Then the next step is to define requirements that we need a different education for managers or for board members, a different industry experience. We need to have one who is with financial background, not all bankers who are just looking to the past and not
right.
Looking to the future as a vision. So from that perspective, there is some good steps are done and fixed. The problem is still the gender balance. And we can read in international researches for top 500 companies listed in the United States and also in Europe, when more diverse teams are bringing absolutely good effect on bottom line as well.
Right.
And this is somehow not generally accepted in Latvian state and municipality owned enterprise. When we are looking, so majority of cases, there is still male club, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the proposals what we are working to have more diversity principles fixed in also in legislation, to have more diverse nomination committees that can not search for copy-paste what I'm doing, but also to open the wider scope of mindset in a boardrooms. So.
Yeah. We during these 20, almost 30 minutes already that we have been discussing on leadership, I think if there is a word that is underlined together with this experimentation is dynamism. So we are looking to make leadership very dynamic. Now, there is in the region and probably also in the public in private sector a tradition of long-term leadership you have some leaders that being really long time in either in the position or very close to the position. There is a context probably that the country is small and then it's difficult to go somewhere else. What's your point on there? Because I think there are people on both sides of the dilemma. There are people that think that gives stability to the organization, but the other people might, you know, not go into the example of Putin, of course, but that go to some level of autocratic leadership at the end. That sometimes is very effective, but it creates a very special culture in the organization, in my view. But what's your view on that?
Yeah, so it's of course hard to put in a box. No black and white
right.
Solution, but I am more towards those who think that there is a need to change, and especially when we're discussing the position of state leadership, different state institutions, and also companies. So you need to change, and you need to have some fresh blood in a way that can boost the company development to the next stage. We have, on the same time, good examples when there are some managers who are serving for 20 plus years, and I know them personally, and I wouldn't say that company is stuck somewhere in history in the old elephant, you know, not moving and not developing, right? Mm-hmm. So there is also some cases when it's working, but I would say it's exception more than a rule. So I like this rule for two terms. Mm. So it's 4 or 5 years and two terms, so it's 10 years in one position, and then you are, you know, changing whether it's you are changing the content what you are responsible for, or you are changing, you know, I don't know, yeah. But there should be some changes, not to have the same responsibilities for 20 plus years. So that can be quite a stagnatic symptoms. Yeah. That you cannot really solve, and I like. Well, if I am in a person who are 20 years successful CEO,
right.
If I would be, right. Of course I will disagree with you. I'll say, well, come on, Claudia. So my company is quite successful, but there is this Solomon's paradox. You know, probably that you can fix better other problems than your own problems,
because you want
this distance somehow yields objectivity,
yeah.
and from that angle, so it is better to ask you know, if not to your team, to your shareholders, friends or whatsoever, somebody around who you trust. So what do you think? Am I too long in this position, and what maybe I could do in different way, because to answer, as you would ask, as a long-serving CEO, I would probably say, so I have, you know, energy and ideas to continue. But ask somebody else that can provide an answer.
Yeah. Because those long-term, we need to count on the people way of perceiving the leader at the end, right? And and the capacity of the people to continue giving feedback. Because sometimes when it's so long, that level of service, probably people already got used to certain traits or certain ways of looking at things. And now I am writing an article on Zelensky, and I didn't know much about Zelensky, by the way, until I started to do the research I was commissioned to do, and I'm looking at his leadership, and it's certainly very surprising, by the way. So the comedian turned overnight almost in president with an absolute vast majority of voting. So I think he got around 70% of vote. Then a presidency that didn't start it well, and then it takes up with the popularity on the world. So the world transformed the presidency. Now, when I look at his speeches, also when I observe his interviews where he's more spontaneous, it looks to me that today he's despising the leader people are expecting him to be. Whether he is or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the way how he despises the leadership. And certainly it's like the world has transformed him. So how much do you think challenges come really? I mean, that sometimes you need to produce challenges to improve leadership, right? So that's basically the sometimes when you are in the tranquil waters and everything is going, so there things don't go. But actually it's good to experiment, because then is where you can go transforming the organization yourself to create crisis in a way.
To create crisis, to develop yourself as a leader, and well, in a calm situations, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And for majority, probably for people and employees, it's the best thing what can happen, that it's calm and everybody we know. For me, I'm bored, so. I'm not a drama person who is making some crisis by purpose, but my effectiveness is going up when there are challenges, where there are problems that need to be solved in a night or in a short period of time. So I like such a situations, and when the stress level is going up, and so you know you need to fix it and to move forward. Yes, and. Obviously, for Mr. Zelensky, the war absolutely changed himself, because there is no other way, because there are huge expectations globally, and it's not only about Ukrainians who are fighting, that there will be a leader who is standing shoulder by shoulder and giving direction and motivation, not to surrender, but globally. And his pressure is big, so you need to somehow to reflect these expectations in your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And he is changing.
Yeah.
I am changing in Liepa University, no, absolutely, because there is a huge challenges that we are facing, and how to develop the best university in the region, not regional university, but university that serves and operates in a region. I am changing as a leader because it's challenging times, and if there wouldn't, I think it wouldn't be interesting for me.
Is interesting when you look at the transition of Zelensky before the war to the current war. Now he's a war president, right? So he's a it's a president in a world that is articulating, I think, in a perfect way for the moment where he's living. So he's articulating a very clear and simple message of we are going to win. So and it resonates to me, you know, Ronald Reagan message to the Soviet Union: we win, you lose. So it's a very
quite
simple,
clear. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
very
yeah.
clear. So we are not here to wait for you. So it's a very clear message. And when I observe Zelensky's message, it goes in the same direction. Now, people that know him from the past, even though he did a lot of mistakes in his first term, in the first years of his presidency, but even how some of the people he chose in his team, but people that know him from the past, it seemed that they say that he has a very strong awareness of what is right and wrong, and very much to stick to what he thought it was right, so that whatever was right for him, that his values, so he was very consistent to that. So in this, what seems probably to be one of the key of his transitions. What is the role of values of the leader when he's facing, you know, these challenges? And how do you measure that? How do you, in this interview, selection process, how do you evaluate the values of a leader?
Oh my God, Claudio, what a question. Yeah. So one is just to understand what are your values. And one is a question what we are usually asking in such cases in interviews. So what does it mean to be a good board member? What is good board member? You know, and these answers really are different when you're touching, some aspects, what is good or what is bad, and how you would like to act. But these values, so I'm just trying to translate these values of Baltic Institute of Corporate Governance to my daily operations. So one of the values is challenge status quo, to integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And values itself, when you're putting in on a wall and write, so it's just a words. But then there's a question how you are acting to prove that you are following the values or not. And this is quite a difficult and challenging this internal discussion from person to person. Having a feedback from some other peers when the potential board member of management works and asking quite a simple question. So how you acted in cooperation with him or her, what we should expect, and when is a value crash in organization and personal values and organization values. So of course it's not leading anywhere. So
do you expect the leaders you select to have an active role in discussing these values with the organization where they are going to be?
No, absolutely. If we are searching for a company leaders, meaning both management or supervisory board members, who needs to set a direction and agree on a strategy. So integral part of the strategy is just to revise the mission, purpose of the company, values, right? What is not a formality? And so it cannot be formality. So therefore, you need to have this discussion translate these quite simple paragraphs or sentences of words into a practice. And usually it's not done. Right. Usually, it's not done.
Thanks for being. Yeah, why it is not done? I mean, I mean that's my experience as well.
Yeah, and as a reason, one of the reasons why it's not done, I guess, is that you have a 100 of smaller or bigger operational aspects to solve for managers.
Right.
This is some vision, some future ideas. So let's discuss it tomorrow. Then tomorrow it's next operational crisis and challenges are covering all the agenda and then let's discuss after a week. So what I like, what is quite practical, is that for a board, so you have the calendar for a year or a half year.
Right.
When you are planning also the time to think about philosophy items. And if you are not planning that, so it's not working. So what I'm doing actually that every week I'm putting some 3 hours, what is thinking time, you know, because every day you have full of meetings, Zoom calls, conferences, some events where you need when I need to discuss and present and so on. But I need to put in a calendar time for myself. And
there is this famous matrix from Stephen Covey. I don't know if you know it, that. Urgent important, urgent non-important, right?
Yeah,
and this is the values discussion, this non-urgent, very important, right? So that it requires, and that's very deep level of discussion that is on the, okay, why are we here? What are we doing? What's the main proposition of what we are doing, right? So and whether what we are producing actually match the values, what we really care. So it's a question in your understanding that urgent matters, or it could be also a question that people are not convinced of the value, the practical value of philosophy.
I want to do my job, you know. So if I'm an accountant or I'm a marketing person, so for certain professions and positions in a company, it's very, very important, because then you're, but yes, so who cares about philosophy? Or who should care? That is the right question.
You know, once I heard an observation that it's not my opinion, but I think it's worthwhile to think about it. That one of the issues in higher education in Latvia and probably Eastern Europe has been that traditionally rectors, we had rectors that don't come from humanity sides.
All right.
That they have a little bit more capacity probably or background or training to do a philosophical understanding of the body of the university. And trench, as we were talking about the University of Liepāja. But I think that's something that we probably part of the thing that is missing is the more humanities background on the leadership of universities and probably of other leaders as well.
Yeah, from just to continue what the thought what you told, I think there is no, maybe there is evidence in some researches so who is the best leader, I mean, from which discipline it comes and so on, but not necessarily. It's about, you know, human touch and your vision and your diploma not necessarily will deliver some ideas how to be better.
Certainly.
You know.
Absolutely. So this leadership is experimentation. So we touch upon, okay, what do we expect from leaders when they come to top senior positions? And we expect them to be very dynamic. Whether they will stay short or long, seems not to be an essential issue, but it's important that they stay open to change, and they remain open to feedback in order that actually they can. That dynamism is very, very important, but it's very important to have a clarity on the identity of the values of the organization in order that that experimentation doesn't really go to any place, but actually have some level of consistency, right? So is it possible to train people to become these sort of leaders, leaders that are dynamic, they have a high level of integrity, that are able to challenge the status quo? Is that... So could we create some sort of school of leadership to bring people in that direction?
I think we do not need to establish such a school. RBS is serving quite good, right?
But that's what I mean. My last question.
Question. Yeah. But actually, we had this discussion in this leadership development practicum at Executive MBA studies. So can you be born or can you be made? Yeah. Right. And so surprise, surprise, the answer is you can develop yourself as a good leader. I think it is possible. So the question about the tools and different perspectives, and I will give just quite a simple example of my experience. So usually what you expect from leaders is that you will motivate your team. And sometimes, of course, there is financial, some bonuses, and non-financial, and you need to balance, and everybody knows that. But once I felt that this all the motivation tools are not working for one person, nothing.
What do you do?
And then you start to, you know, how? Because for everybody it's working, for one person it's not working. And finally, after, you know, different rounds of discussion, there is absolutely different the way how you handle the motivation. You are not motivating because the person do not want to be motivated.
Uh-huh.
The person wanted that I'm removing some demotivation obstacles or demotivation aspects. And that particular person, I wanted to work in calm environment. So no open office. I don't want to stressful situations. And when we fix this environment, the results are brilliant. and no motivation is needed. Salary is okay, everything is okay. So it means that if you have those tools as a leader, that you can use and experiment again, because one model or one solution will not work. And this is kind of, you know, what I learned.
This is a fantastic, because I think all of us are working with people that are not that motivated, right? And the question is, okay, not all the motivation, not all the incentives that we use and we usually have in our package really work, but we put the question, and this is with any other leadership challenge we can have. Oi, don't overthink. Think a little bit, take the decision, experiment, and probably you need to track back and then do it again, right? So this, the capacity to go experimenting, because you cannot plan everything that you are going to do.
Absolutely.
And you said the RBS is a good school for leadership. So how RBS help you? And why would you recommend people to come to RBS?
Well,
this is our marketing.
It's a marketing part. Actually, so what is absolutely the good thing that in executive MBA programs there is not only the must-have courses, and I came here to boost my financial capacity as a manager, but this leadership development practicum. So it went through all the program in 2 years, and there was a lot of tasks and to reflect about the history starting from the birth till critical moments of my career, or some moments what I'm not probably proud of, and just to put on paper and just to understand how I can be better, and whether it's delegation skills, why I cannot delegate, why I'm feeling that I'm the best person who can do myself, or some situations where I can learn, for example. I had a case time ago when I had a discussion with my boss, and afterwards I came back to my office, and you know, some time ago there was this local phone central when I'm pushing some few numbers and I'm reaching my colleague in next door, and I pushed the wrong button. I called to my boss. And I told everything what I thought with emotions about the situation. And of course, afterwards, when I realized how I acted and so on. So all these kind of critical moments when you're putting and structuring, afterwards you're getting a better version of yourself. It sounds cliché-y,
right.
but it's really so, because you are not making the same mistakes again.
Yeah. The reflection is the key attitude of any leader, right? So think and put the question, could I do this better, right? And Andres, was fantastic. Thank you very much. The podcast will remain in YouTube for generations to come. And I think it has been a great discussion and with all the expertise. I was so happy that you could share with so many things that come from all those 20 processes of interviews and selections that you've gone. It's a wealth of experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you to everyone.